In other news.
You know, the towers did not burn up. They turned into powder in midair.
That's scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
You walk up to him and confront him. They can't stand that.
Welcome to Another News. I'm Jeff Brady. Past guest Carissa Conti returns to discuss her recent article titled Conspiracies in the Workplace, a Microcosm of the Greater World Matrix. For years, Carissa has been giving her readers in-depth articles on topics such as interdimensional interference, non-humans among us, and backdrop people, many of which can be found on her website, intoworlds.net. The majority of her topics are born from direct experience, including, as you'll hear, workplace conspiracies. But as we wind through this article, we will keep in context some current events, including how did so many in healthcare, school boards, law enforcement, local, state, and government agencies do everything they could to take down society. It's unclear how long they've been walking among us, but as Carissa explains, it's not by chance they've risen to strategic positions all over human society. In regard to the engineered pandemic, I suspect the majority of people know they've been lied to every step of the way, and the lies continue, saying they won't, and then they do, with impunity. We talk about how society has been backed into this corner. Carissa Conti runs the website intoworlds.net and is the author of many articles and the free online book titled Chasing Phantoms: Personal Experiences, Observations, and Theories into the Abduction Mind Control Phenomenon. We go now to hear part one of this interview. Carissa, welcome back to Another News.
Oh, thank you, Jeff, for having me back.
We spend a lot of time at work, and it's often the place where we make long-term friendships and interact with a wide range of personality types. Many people have a handful of long-term employment with various companies and organizations, but Carissa, you've had a different experience. Would you please describe your work history and motivation for writing this article?
Sure. And the article in question is called Conspiracies in the Workplace, a Microcosm of the Greater World Matrix. And my work history is what ultimately led to the creation of this article. Because I've had years of working multiple jobs at a time and going all the way back to my teens. So I've really been out there at a lot of jobs over the years. And where I started out in restaurants, as waitress, cocktail server, hostess, you know, hotels, front desk, driving the shuttle and working in retail, just very fast paced, intensive, kind of heavy level of customer service type of jobs, interacting with the public and with many coworkers and, you know, many bosses. And then eventually I moved up to offices through primarily staffing agencies. So I had years of working at many temp jobs through these staffing agencies where sometimes I was registered with multiple agencies at once and with just back-to-back assignments, spend like a week here and a few days there and a month here and another week there and just bouncing from job to job because I really enjoyed doing that. I like the variety and being able to see new industries and meet new people and just learn lots of new things. So that was really fun. I did that for a lot of years. And then I've also lived around the country on top of it while working at all these jobs. So I've just experienced a lot of the different regions of the country and seeing what's really out there in the world in terms of working and people and just everything. And so it really opened my eyes to what's happening in the world. And one of the things when you're at that many jobs for so many years, working with so many people, you start kind of noticing patterns in the chaos. So you start to notice negative and sometimes bizarre patterns emerging at many jobs, showing you that things are not what they always appear to be on the surface. So In my case, it was namely involving how things were being done, or rather not done, and the types of people and situations I was repeatedly encountering. And something I've noticed is that most people haven't had the type of work history that I have with that many types of jobs. So they've only worked a few jobs total in their life at a few limited industries. So they never really get a chance to start noticing these patterns or realizing that whatever negative or strange things they're experiencing at their jobs is an actual thing. And it's happening everywhere, even though it probably shouldn't be. But being that I've had all these jobs, I did get to notice those patterns and was starting to question a lot of what's going on in this world and how could these patterns be? Like, how is this happening? It's such a wide variety of industries with completely different people in different parts of the country. It was a little odd sometimes that it could be repeating like that. But there were four key patterns that I noticed and which became the main headings for the sections of my article. So I'm just going to go ahead and read what those headings were and then expand on each to describe what I'd noticed. But the number one thing that I noticed, it's at the top of the list, is what I call totally incompetent and or negatively oriented people managing to get hired on to managerial positions at companies and organizations and never getting fired. So that was one of the biggies. And it's the number one at the top of the list because bosses and supervisors are the most important thing pretty much at any job because they're going to make or break your job experience. They hold all the power. They can hire, they can fire, and they're going to set the tone for the job. And you might assume like, oh, especially again, if you've had limited job experience, maybe, and you just happen to have a great boss and you think that's normal around everywhere, but it's actually not. And that's what kind of shocked me, is that you'd be surprised how many incompetent people are out there running things that have no business running things. They don't know what they're doing. They're not qualified. I saw that over and over at so many jobs, and it was a bit surprising. So once these bad bosses manage to get put into place at these companies, no matter what it is, it could be a lower rung restaurant all the way up to a very white collar high-end office. It doesn't matter, but like once these people manage to gain a foothold into these jobs as a boss, someone in charge who's dictating the tone of everything, there's a domino effect of issues that can begin to happen, including chaos and disorganization and mismanagement, the mistreatment of employees, issues and complaints being ignored, and departments or the entire company being run into the ground due to inefficient or bad policies being implemented or good policies being removed. And it's also obnoxious that it seems as if it's being done on purpose, because it's like, how do these people not see that what they're doing is ruining things and creating a loss of revenue? So, and then other issues can be where involving what happens with these bad bosses getting into place is that key higher ups, you know, they sort of ignore or excuse the incompetent and problematic employees and troublemakers who are creating toxicity in the workplace and making life difficult for other employees. So that's another interesting thing where they're not directly being the one causing the problem, but they're allowing the troublemakers who cause problems to remain on the payroll, and they don't fire them, and they're not doing anything about it. So, and that's where I notice that a lot of these quote unquote managers in charge, they often have this mentality that I jokingly call the gosh golly gee, I just don't know how to handle this situation mindset regarding these bad employees and not firing them. So I've seen that a lot where you have managers that are supposed to know their power and own it, but they're not exercising it. So they're just allowing all these troublemakers to run rampant, and they're not managing the way they're supposed to. And there was what I also noticed at more than one job, which was interesting, and I jokingly call it the tyrannical boss syndrome. And I noticed it. It's usually at these smaller companies that have about 20 employees total, maybe, and one main boss that's overseeing everybody. And he's, in my experience, at several jobs, it's an egomaniacal windbag, basically, who kind of enjoys being the king, lording over his peasants and the fiefdom. You know, and a guy who likes to yell and rant and berate, even if he's wrong, like he doesn't even care. And he can't be bothered to learn the functions of his own company. So when he's yelling at people in different departments, it's usually coming from a place of not understanding how things even work in his own company. So people are trying to explain it to him, but he doesn't want to listen. And as I've even seen, these types may even create problems if none exist, which is really interesting. Like purposely throwing wrenches in the works just to have problems to yell and berate people about. So, and also, weirdly enough, I've seen where some of these bosses like to even pit employees against each other, trying to create a fight and even playing both sides, like whispering in each other, you know, different employees' ears, which that's some really toxic behavior right there. Like what kind of a boss, especially if it's the owner of his own company, wants his own employees fighting with each other? It's not normal. But what I've seen about these types is that posturing themselves above others to feed the ego and keeping employees discombobulated and perpetually upset actually becomes more important than maximizing revenue. So there, that's like a tip-off that something funny is going on here. And again, if you see it at only one job, it may not – you can just write it off. That's just this company. But when you've seen it over and over, different jobs – different industries, different parts of the country, then, you know, something weird is going on. So, and then the next section I had regarding one of the key patterns that I'd seen in my job travels was the classic, you know, where you have overloaded job descriptions, lack of decent training, and then what I have jokingly nicknamed the regularly scheduled shitstorm days. And there's a reason I call it that. Oh, and these are like basically guaranteed energy feeding tactics, these things. So with the overloaded job descriptions, it's self-explanatory, but it's where an employee may be doing the work of multiple people. It's kind of like a hamster in a wheel, and it just keeps getting faster and faster, but with no corresponding pay rate increase. And it's not just in like some short term, you know, you're helping to fill in during some sort of a transition time period type of thing, which is completely understandable, but it's like a long-term, this is the way it's going to be always, so suck it up, you know? So basically taking advantage of the employee and seeing how far the employee can be pushed with no regard for the impact on business or revenue. So, and that is so common, it's just ridiculous, it's cliche that you see that in most jobs, people just overloaded doing multiple people's jobs. And then you have the lack of decent training. It's also self-explanatory, but, you know, very minimal training being given to the new employee before setting them loose, and where they often then have to learn the rest of their job as they go. So it's just a total lack of concern about the impact on customer service and revenue, again. And then those storm days, it's like an oddly specific thing, but it's another pattern that I noticed different jobs in totally unrelated industries, the same thing, where the maximum amount of circumstances and craziness are scheduled completely unnecessarily to coincide on one or two particular days every single week versus being spread out. So they could spread it out and make it so business runs smoother, you're having a better time with your job, and everything flows nicely, but they don't. They just bunch everything up onto like this one day of hell or maybe 2 days of hell. And those days of hell have you like feeling anxious and feeling dread before you go into work. And you're always having to brace yourself to just make it through until the end of your shift on those particular days, because it's just going to be hell from start to finish. And what's interesting is that management, like I said, they won't change anything, even though they totally could and should. So when this happens, it maximizes poor customer service, customer unhappiness, loss of revenue once again, and, you know, maximizes employee stress and anxiety, anger and frustration. And it just doesn't need to be that way. I just want to add on a side note, like a just really quick anecdote regarding this phenomenon about the storm days, is that I even saw in one particular case when I was working at a boat marina here in South Florida. I was in Pompano Beach, and I only ended up being at that job for like 3 days. But my female boss actually had a glint in her eye and this smirk as she relayed the absolute craziness that was going to await me on that one storm day a week. she enjoyed the idea of it, despite the guaranteed customer service issues and the potential loss of revenue. So making me suffer was more important, it seemed to her, and it was amusing to her. Like, she just enjoyed rubbing it in about how much I was going to suffer on that one day a week. So, but needless to say, I was only at that job for 3 days. So, but that is one of those specific incidences that really got my attention and kind of really clued me in. But as we can see from what I've gone over so far, there's this emerging pattern regarding lack of concern about the success of the business and revenue, which is the entire point to having a business, is, you know, you're supposed to be making money. But that often seems to take a back seat. It's almost like they want to, like, make life the biggest hell for the employees that they possibly can. And money is just a secondary goal. So then the third biggest pattern that I noticed in my job travels was coworkers from hell. So that's another big obvious one. As noted in the article, you know, coworkers can really make or break our experience at a job, as well as bosses. But like I've noted, you could be at a job where it's not the ideal job. You may not even be getting the ideal amount of money that you would like. But the coworkers that you have are just maybe such an awesome group of people, and you may even become friends with them, that it just kind of makes it worth it. And so you stick around at that job a lot longer than you would have otherwise, you know. But when there's coworkers from hell, it can go the other way, and that can be what drives you out of a company. And what I have seen, oh my God, so many coworkers from hell at so many jobs, things like the, just the total lack of work ethic, where they're always calling out sick and needing time off for endless appointments and personal issues. They're coming in late, leaving early, taking excessive long lunch breaks, and they're pawning their work off onto others, and where they may be just terrible at their job in general, and they never seem to catch on, and they don't care. So everybody else has to pick up their slack, and they don't even try. They don't care. Or just, you know, having a very bad attitude in general, maybe overt bullying and harassment of other coworkers, or even threats or attempts at violence, which I've seen that too at jobs several times. And one time that even happened to me with a female coworker towards me. Coming in drunk or high, or drinking and doing drugs while on the clock. Seen that one. Definitely purposely infringing on colleagues' ability to do their job. So, like, sabotaging others' work and efforts, maybe playing mind games and doing passive aggressive behavior with them to just keep them discombobulated, so they can't, again, just be in a good flow. Gossiping and spreading rumors. You know, maybe runs around telling people what others said about them in private, or purposely twists and misrepresents what somebody said, just trying to start drama and get people fighting with each other. There's also the obsessive fixation, and that could be, you know, in a bullying way, or just this sort of needy and clingy way where they're latching onto you, and or even in a romantic, stalkery kind of way. But either way, they're becoming like the bane of your existence at the job. And then there's an interesting sub-phenomenon I noticed with these coworkers from hell. It's what I call the chain-ganged coworker phenomenon. So that's where, you know, out of everybody in the company, you could possibly be forced to sit or stand next to for your entire shift, you know, or work in close conjunction with. It's, of course, the most obnoxiously incompatible or troublesome person imaginable. Like, out of everybody in the office or everybody in the restaurant, whatever. So since I experienced this during a particular time period, it was at least three different office jobs. I kept getting chain ganged to the worst, most opposite person imaginable, and just made my job hell. It kind of struck me as being maybe by design. It was just a little weird at that point. It happened three times now in a very short period of time. So there was something to that. And then, you know, there's also just in general, when it comes to the coworkers from hell, it's called the trapped rats in a cage phenomenon. And it's just where anytime you take a bunch of people and kind of cram them together in too small of a place when they have too many varying personalities and needs, and they're crammed together all day long, up to 40 hours a week, you know, it's never a good thing. And even if they're good people, it's just going to eventually create problems because of that. It's like those experiments where they stick a bunch of rats crammed together and then watch as they turn on each other. So it's just kind of inevitable. And as I noticed, when you have small offices, it generates small worlds. People just start getting caught up in this strange little dynamic and this little realm, and it just becomes almost like a realm into itself, separate from the rest of the world, with the gossip and the weird drama. And so that was number three in terms of one of the patterns. And then there was the last major pattern that I'd noticed, which was the bait and switch phenomenon. So that's where, you know, one thing is promised and then it gets switched out to something else. And I've seen it where job duties are being majorly changed up, you know, versus what was presented in the interviews or the written job descriptions. And it's possibly to the level of becoming an almost entirely different job. So you agreed to, I'm going to be doing this. Yeah, sure. That's what you agreed to when you got hired. And then they start springing a bunch of other crazy stuff onto you once you start. And they always knew they were going to do this. That's the thing. This isn't like a making it up as they go along and they, we need you to help out here. We're going to give you this to do. No, they always knew. So that's something I've experienced several times where they knew. They actually withheld stuff because they didn't want to scare me off. And if they knew if they put that in the job description, that I would be like, I don't think so. So that's a big one I've noticed repeatedly. There's also where the manager boss's personality does a negative 180, you know, from the what I call the sweetness and light routine they may have presented themselves as in the interview. So they become like a whole different person once you actually start. So they seem like, oh, this is going to be a great person to work with while you're interviewing. And then once you start, I mean, I've had some drastic 180s, like starting right on the first day, they just become somebody else, and it's shocking. So again, they kind of manipulate you in the interview, pretending to be somebody they're not. And then they let that guard down once you start, and it's usually not really good. And then the other bait and switch was, you know, sometimes shenanigans with salary. So, you know, the employer tries to get the employee to cave to a lower pay rate than what was presented in the interview. And I've experienced that and seen that as well. So you agree to start at one salary, and once you start working, it's like try to, oh, but maybe we could get you to agree to something lower, and da 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 da, because they feel like, oh, now you're kind of already in the door. You're just going to be so happy to have a job and that you're going to sort of accept whatever we throw at you or whatever weird things we try to pull with you. And it can often work, not just the salary stuff, but any of this sort of things can often work with people because they usually are kind of desperate for a job and they're stuck. And maybe this is the only opportunity presenting itself. So they just feel like they got to keep going with it, even if they don't want to. So, but those were the four major patterns that I had seen in my work travels that really kind of opened my eyes that there's some strange things happening in this world. There's a lot more going on here than what it seems. Like, for this stuff to keep repeating the way it does, you know, means there's really something to this. So that was my motivation for the article.
Well, Chris, I appreciate you going through bullet points and categories. Very, very important to do. Now, listeners might be thinking, yeah, been there, know exactly what you're talking about, and can't fathom why such management is allowed to continue. Doesn't make any sense, especially since there is usually a guaranteed revenue loss. And it's not about making a profit as it is engineering an environment that causes boatloads of negative energy, such as anxiety, stress, infighting, anger, and so on. Would you please talk about this concept?
Sure. And it does seem to be primarily about energy feeding, as the patterns are showing. Like I said, making money seems to just take a back seat sometimes. I mean, it's not all companies, but it's just enough that it's just like, but what I've learned and about this place that we're living in, reality, you know, it's a learning lesson playground for spiritual evolution, but it's also an energy farm and even an experiment for beings or entities that aren't human. So, you know, and it may have been hijacked at some point along the way to serve those latter purposes. I don't know. But there is no doubt there is an energy farm component to everything that's going on in this world, and not least of all with our jobs. And that's because we spend so much time at our jobs any given week. You know, many people are working 40 hours a week, but many 50, 60, 70, 80. So we spend a good chunk of our lives there. So it makes sense. That's going to be a major avenue for energy farm. And this concept of an energy farm isn't a new discovery. This is something that even an anomalous researcher named Charles Fort, who I'm sure many of your listeners are going to be familiar with, he was an anomalous researcher from the turn of the 1900s, and he even noted that. And he had a quote that's kind of famous, and I used it in my article, and it's, "The Earth is a farm. We are somebody else's property." So he kind of figured that out in his research travels, that we have owners above us and we are being farmed. And I don't know if he actually meant that in a literal way, which happens. It's this whole side subject, but definitely at the minimum, it's an energetic farming. And there's another researcher called Robert Monroe who did a lot of work with astral travel, and he coined a term called louche, and it's a great term, and it's just basically the energy that people create from their emotions and everything that then gets kind of siphoned and eaten up, so to speak, by higher entities above us. So I like to use that term, and I'll probably use it sometimes here and there in this discussion. But so yeah, the farm energy farming thing is something that's, it's known by researchers, and that's what's going on here. And I think it's definitely a large component of what's happening at these jobs. And you know, there's both positive and negative elements running amok here in our reality. You know, different types and varieties, and they've gone by different names in various cultures throughout history. Negs, that's what I like to call them, neg entities, negs, but demons, archons, the jinn, you know, aliens, and there's different types of those. The reptilian, people like to reference reptilian energy. You know, just a lot of different names that these energy feeder, trickster, malevolent stuff has gone by, you know, over history. And these things, they don't run on love and light. So that's not what's powering them. They don't just eat any kind of energy. They like negative energy. So stuff is creating negative, intense emotions, the dark aspect of sexual energy, death and murder and destruction. So, you know, you engineer a world that creates the maximum amount of stress and anxiety, depression, anger, hatred, you know, division, fighting, sickness, death, murder, pollution, destruction, and so on. And, you know, and these things are being produced through these asinine policies and bureaucratic systems and corrupt governments, wars and false flags. And they're all, you know, overseen by these easily controllable puppet people vessels, you know, drones, spiritless shells, as I like, you know, kind of call them. But as well as very real, but very fallible people who can easily fall victim to greed, ego, and power. And they're all playing their parts to engineer and keep this type of world going that's just so full of negativity. So people are just constantly generating stress and negative energies at all times, usually. So much of what is going on at these negative jobs is designed to maximize negative energy or louche for stuff to feed on. Same as on the macro worldwide level. So you have the ineffectual policies and the mismanagement, the bullies, tyrants, the idiots, the overloaded jobs, the high stress situations that don't need to be. And all of that is trying to get you to generate those negative emotions that seem to power other things that are on top of us. And then these neg forces, they often operate through weakened and fractured people, I've learned through personal experience, and not just at jobs. And this is a big, big puzzle piece of what's happening in this reality in general for all things. But shadowing and semi-possessing people and manipulating their thoughts and actions, you know, the things they say. So, and this is a very important point that's going to come up again later in our discussion. But everybody can fall victim to this. Everybody, me, you, everybody out there, you know, if we're not careful and mindful of our thoughts and trying to, you know, get control of our own selves. If you're tired or in a bad mood or in a weakened state, you can, something tries to slip in and get you to do stuff or say, think bad thoughts or whatever. It can happen. It happens to everybody. Then also something I noticed about these neg elements, it's not even just that they can kind of shadow or influence people and puppet them, but there seems to also be people walking among us that are, I guess you could call, masqueraders, who are not truly people as we think they are. I've met people that I've trusted in life who have the sixth sense sight, who could see this about some of the people walking among us, that they were not really people. They seem to be normal. They're just kind of out there living a normal life, but they were something else, kind of masquerading and just walking among us, kind of inserted into our world, because places like basically like a big zoo. Basically, it's just kind of a what I call a free will, free-for-all zone. It's like a zoo where you got all kinds of things incarnating here and living here all at the same time, mixed up together. So it isn't just people, you know, out there in the world, no matter what it may look like on the surface. And sometimes these masqueraders include hybrids, the alien-human hybrids that have been integrated into our society. But that's another important point that we'll be getting back to later. But, you know, these useless soul-sucking jobs are also designed to maximize time-wasting and distraction, too. So that's another negative aspect. It's not just about energy feeding, you know. It's about trying to waste your time, get you distracted, to minimize or eliminate personal free time and kind of chip away at our health so we don't reach our potential. So, you know, a lot of people who became unemployed over the past year and a half due to the pandemic, they learned quickly like how much better life was, you know, now that they were getting more sleep and making their own food instead of eating out all the time on the run. They didn't have the commute anymore, which in itself is a huge stress component to start out your day with, and just no job stress in general. So, and it's going to be hard for a lot of people I know to go back to the old way, and a lot of people already aren't. They're already trying to find a new way and to not go back to that old world. So it's energy, time wasting, and distraction is the main issues with these neg entities, if you will, and overseeing us in general in this reality, and especially at our jobs.
You clarify that not everything happening that seems negative is done on purpose. As fully souled humans, we have free will in this density, and we could also draw negativity into our lives. It's important to know the distinction between these two situations. On the positive end, we have many opportunities to consciously make proper decisions and direct our lives where we would like it to go. You're talking about a critical spiritual test, because if you leave some of these work-related decisions up to chance, the default path may lean into the negative realm.
Right. This is what I learned for myself. Like when I had subconscious issues and, you know, unprocessed emotional baggage that I was carrying around within me, it led to inadvertent, like accidental reality creation and influence what I was pulling to myself in life. So whether, you know, life circumstances in general, relationships, my living situation, jobs with the bosses, the coworkers, the type of work, and all of that. So that's a really important thing, that if you're experiencing negativity at jobs and stuff, some of it is our own doing. We're pulling things in due to, in many cases, due to subconscious issues and, you know, these unprocessed emotional baggage that may go back to childhood, unresolved issues with our parents or with bullying and things. So, you know, and that's another big thing that I noticed, like, especially if someone's been bullied or abused growing up, it kind of imprints the whole bullied scapegoat victim frequency onto them. And they usually don't even know it. They have no idea. They don't realize it. And I had that too. But then you start pulling in people and jobs in life that will, you know, abuse and persecute and mistreat you. It's kind of like sharks to the blood. It's like something they sense in you. Because like it's almost been imprinted into your frequency field. You know, the whole like attracts like thing. So you've been abused and beaten down in life, and you've got this pattern that's established on you. You don't even know it. You think you're over it as an adult, but you may not be. And then you can't understand, why do I keep attracting in bosses that are just beating up on me and mean people and things? Well, it's probably because it's unprocessed. You got to figure out a way, you know, to process that. So, you know, what appears to be knowing or purposeful targeting, you know, either by higher neg entities or even gang stalkers, for instance, which is, I know, another subject that many of your listeners are going to be familiar with, but it may not be that. It could be you pulling stuff in. But I noticed when I had my unprocessed issues and psychological baggage, and along with apathy and kind of conflicting ideas about what I really wanted with my job or life in general, so I didn't take control of the wheel to direct things the way I should have, then all hell broke loose with my job situation. It just became crazy. It was just nothing good. It was all like weird and negative. And, you know, I attracted in bad fit jobs with abusive bosses or toxic coworkers. And I'm not saying that every single person I worked with was bad news. And that's important to know. No, there's always a lot of good people, always, everywhere you go. But it's just like what I noticed was that the toxic ones always seem to be in these key positions that I have to interact with or who have power over me. All the good ones were not people that were bosses or usually not bosses. And they weren't people I had to directly, you know, interact with all day long. So they had no real impact. These, you know, toxic people that I would attract in, they were a spot on match, I noticed, of the abusive people from my past. I mean, down to their looks and even, and this is weird, their astrological configurations. It was so strange. So it was another version of these bad people from my past playing out through somebody else, kind of like a broken record. So I just kept pulling these types. There was one particular, it's the worst job I've ever had in all my job travels, and it was here in Boca where I live, Boca Raton. It was in 2014, and it was crazy that the main guy in charge, the owner of the company, was a template for my dad, down to hair, skin, eye coloring, slightly about his looks as well. It was crazy. And the head woman in charge, who was unfortunately was my boss, was this template for my mom. So I had literally, I mean, and down to her astrology, personality, hair color, skin color, everything. And it was crazy. So I had like, basically I pulled in my mom and my dad back into my life, who were both beating on me and abusing me at this job. And it was just one of the worst jobs I've ever had. But that job, you know, the positive end of that job is that it caused me to snap and realize what was going on and that things needed to change. So it was that line drawn in the sand, the straw that broke the camel's back. And so it changed everything. I realized what was happening and was able to start pulling myself out of that and make a really positive change in my life. So in a way, it was kind of good that I had to go through that. It woke me up to some things. But, you know, the other thing is, though, even though I say, you know, a lot of times this might be our issue that we're pulling people in on ourselves, you know, it can turn, you know, start to involve neg entities. You know, if these abusive bosses or coworkers we're attracting in are then being helped along by higher negative stuff, it's kind of opportunistically manipulating them into saying or doing things. Because like I said earlier, that's what these things can do. And they do it all the time. And we've all been a victim of it at some point, whether we've done it to others or others have done it to us. They just kind of, you know, get in there and manipulate. But on a side note, I just do want to add that there's lots of positive things as well. We have higher positive stuff that's at work in this reality just as much as the negs. And they do the same thing, but in a positive way. So it's kind of like a tug of war going on between the bad and the good. So I just have to add that as a side note to make it balanced here. It's not all neg stuff all the time. But anyway, you know, so sometimes we're doing our part to kind of pull these things in, but then those people are getting influenced by neg. So it just kind of becomes a mix of both going on. So we're helping to play our part as well. So basically when it comes to this, we just need to identify and process our baggage, you know, and then take control of the wheel. You kind of need to know yourself in this place and have a really strong mind and visualize what you want and know what lines you won't cross, you know. Otherwise, this place will decide for you. If you just kind of apathetically allow it to resort to whatever default it prefers, it will often be something that benefits it in terms of energy feeding and possible life derailment and not you. So that's why it's important. You know, you got to become aware, process your baggage, and start visualizing and taking control of the wheel. And you can turn it around. And I've had several points in my life where I started to kind of go off the rails and everything was going really terrible and falling apart. And then I recognized and I pulled myself out of it and turned it all around. So we have that power to do that, regardless of negs. They don't have the ultimate control over us here. So it's important to note. And then this whole subject about these neg coworkers and negs working through coworkers kind of ties into a related subject that is known in gang stalking lore. And I just wanted to add this on really quick because it's important. This phenomenon called workplace mobbing, that a lot of people who believe themselves to be targeted individuals or gang stalking targets, they make reference to this, where they've also noticed, like, they're at these jobs and there's just some unbelievable level of what seems to be very concerted targeting happening towards them from really bad bosses and coworkers. And they're not wrong. I mean, it's happening, no doubt. But the problem is the explanations that they're concluding from these experiences is where it's wrong. So, yes, they're being targeted, but what their conclusion is that there's a knowing group of people that are somehow always being preemptively hired on to any job that they could possibly get hired onto before they get there, to already be in place as that harassing coworker or terrible boss to make their life hell and drive them out the door so they keep having to lose these jobs and start again at another job, and then the same pattern happens. And it's just this group of gang stalkers that's following them all over, no matter where they go, anywhere in the world even. You know, I've heard of people, and personally, firsthand, moving to other countries to get away from this. They think, oh, if I just leave the U.S. or something, it'll stop. And it doesn't. And so they just believe it's like this worldwide group of super power people that can just follow them around and even get hired onto their jobs to torment them. But I don't believe that's what's going on. I believe it's everything I just outlined. You know, they got some kind of thing in their frequency, and it's pulling in all these types of bullies and abusers. And until they recognize that they're playing a part in this and process their stuff and, you know, work on themselves and raise their frequency, it's probably never going to stop. And that's why they can keep moving to other countries, and it just keeps following them, because the problem is within them. So they just need to work on themselves. I've done that myself, and I've gotten so much stuff to stop. So I've proven to myself that this concept is valid, that we really do hold the key to so much of how our lives go in this reality. Maybe all of it, but we definitely can control much of it and influence much of it in a positive way and go in the direction we want it to go to suit us and not these neg forces.
Yes, Chris, it was really important to qualify how people could definitely be drawing in negative experiences in the workplace. Although there might be exceptions, as you described about the gang stalking, where it could be very severe. But ultimately, yes, people certainly do draw that in. Carissa, you've expertly outlined how certain types of workers make it to the top positions in an engineered work environment, forcing the more positively minded employees to be driven out. This implies that there are positively minded people out of work, or they found better work environments, and that includes whistleblowers. Could you explain a little more about this concept of being driven out?
Well, as noted, our individual workplaces are a microcosm of the greater world, quote unquote, matrix macrocosm. So same as on the macro level, they recognize and reward their own, as I've said, and they do that on the micro as well. So recognizing and rewarding their own is a big thing I've come across at multiple jobs. So some sort of a neg-influenced, empty pawn gets in there and into a position of power and then starts hiring more like themselves, changing the entire dynamic of the company, the office, whatever. Existing ones like them will then get recognized, rewarded, and promoted. The good ones that actively make a positive difference in their everyday lives of their coworkers or for the company in general, versus the good but bland people who just accept the nonsense, and they make for good louche targets, but they don't really do anything that puts themselves on the radar. I mean, they're nice people, but they're not something that's attracting in attention. But those good ones that do sort of make that extra effort and stand out, then they start getting driven out. These neg-controlled pawns or masqueraders, whatever they are, they seem to recognize those who are knowingly and consciously at odds with their vibes and agendas of negativity and destruction. They know and can see somehow these positive types living lives that oppose that agenda. And especially if those positive people incarnated here specifically to be that opposing force with an actual maybe assigned life mission to be that positive wrench in the works, those types of people, even outside of work and jobs, they will definitely get on the radar of these negs, and they oftentimes will start bringing in like a bullseye on your back, but especially even at your jobs. So This mean positive types will, you know, often encounter some backlash and problems, you know, as they navigate through life, and that includes at work, and they may find themselves being driven out. So being driven out is what I've noticed, and I've seen it again and again. It's kind of like a pattern of negative situations that pile on in multiple forms. It's not just one or two bad days, which is normal. That happens. We all have off days. That doesn't mean you're actually getting driven out of your job. But it's just negative situations that are piling on and accumulating, like bullying by bosses or coworkers from hell that just keeps going and it's not getting better. It's not even that they're just having a bad day and they get over it. Like, it just never stops and may even be getting worse and worse. And ongoing psycho customers, ever, you know, worsening workloads and or some sort of a negative change in policies that, you know, you negatively impact your ability to effectively do your job or enjoy your work. It just keeps piling on and piling on until you really feel like you were just getting pushed out the door, like you can't take it anymore. You know, and then most people usually end up quitting. And a lot of people don't actually because of financial struggles, and that becomes a whole secondary issue. Most people can't afford to quit. So then they just be, you know, at these jobs for years when and it just keeps getting worse and worse. But there's several reasons for why you might be getting driven out or what, you know, all these things are escalating. And as mentioned, you know, Neg's honing in on a positive person, especially somebody who's drawing attention in a positive way and is going to make a positive difference in the workplace. Another thing I noticed, it's an interesting twist on this, is that it's maybe because you're not supposed to be at that job anymore, like, you know, if you ever were at all, but you're not recognizing it. So something higher is trying to cleave you apart since you won't recognize on your own the incompatible nature of the job and leave on your own. So it's using whatever handy pawns it can work through in the vicinity to try to keep putting that pressure on you and get you out the door. Like, you're not supposed to be here anymore. And that could be for a whole bunch of reasons. You know, don't want to sidetrack into that. And then it's also important to note that in terms of these negs kind of working through people for seeming to try to drive you out, it's also important to differentiate between, you know, trying to be driven out at a job you're not supposed to be at anymore versus what I've noticed is opportunistic interference, just trying to sabotage you. So it's like they see a moment, like a window of opportunity, and they kind of like jump in it and try to take advantage of it and operate through a coworker temporarily to get them to say something mean or bullying or just some little thing. And it might happen a couple of times, but it's actually not ongoing permanent. So it, you know, just be mindful. Like I cautioned in my article, if negative stuff starts happening, you know, don't react right away. Just stay calm, you know, just don't react and just observe and feel things out, observe and see if it just keeps going and going. And if it does, and it's not, and it's getting worse and worse, then clearly you're probably being driven out for whatever variety of reasons it could be. But it may pass. So, you know, don't always be quick to jump to conclusions and take rash action, you know, just stay calm. So, yeah, that's what I've noticed about being driven out and how negs have a part in that.
You had a real good example in your write-up about a female coworker who said something to you, and your boss was behind a wall or something, and she heard everything. Well, you couldn't ask for a better situation.
I know. Vindication. Oh, it was like the one time in life that happened. It felt so nice. Yeah, that was a situation with Calla, and it was in Fort Lauderdale in 2003. And yeah, like, she had honed in on me from day one. This was a perfect ultimate example of this. She had honed in on me since day one. I'd been there a year and a half before she started. And then she started, and, you know, she looked completely normal and nice, like, on the surface. She's very, you know, she's good looking, you know, stylish, professionally dressed, and very good presentation, but for some reason, it was like sharks to the blood. She honed in on me because this was years before I'd processed my baggage and figured some things out. So I kept attracting in these types of people, like you wouldn't believe. And she just honed in on me since day one, and all these weird little bullying, haranguing things that she would say, but only when nobody else was around. So I'd be trying to tell my coworkers and my boss, Suzanne, as mentioned in the article, like what she was doing when no one was around. And it's like they like me and they believe me, but they never see it themselves, so they don't know what to make of this. It's like, yeah, I believe you, but I've never seen this. So I don't know. And then there was the day I finally had a witness, and you know, I was at the mailboxes distributing materials, and Calla came whizzing up behind me, and she stopped, and she turned to me, and she had that glint in the eye, the predatorial smirk, and those are two telltale things that I noted in the article that, and this is not just at jobs, but in life in general, when someone seems to have a neg that's suddenly taking them over and piloting their wheel and operating through them, they get this change in their face and the tone of voice, the eyes, and she had that, like textbook. And her whole voice changed, went from pleasant female voice to this weird, almost deranged, creepy sounding voice that said some really messed up thing to me. And I don't even remember what she said, but with the eyes, the smirk, the tone of voice, and it really sounded like she was almost like demon possessed in that moment. And I was just so shocked. I was speechless. I couldn't even respond. I was stunned. And then she smirked again and then flounced off down the hall back to her office. But she didn't know that Suzanne, my boss, was sitting behind the cubicle wall. You know, she normally wouldn't be there, but there was something she needed to do on the computer in that cubicle. So she happened to be there. So Calla runs off and Suzanne just slowly stands up and had this WTF look on her face as she's looking at Calla, and I just turned to Suzanne, I'm like, did you hear that? Did you hear her say that? And Suzanne was like, yeah. And so that you know, and then there's more stuff that happened after that. But this whole anecdote actually is interesting that you bring it up, because it ties back into the recognize and reward their own thing, because Suzanne, who had my back on that, she actually went to her boss, who was vice president of the company, to let him know what had happened and what Calla did to me, and totally backed me up on it and said this was an ongoing pattern of bullying from Calla, and now she'd finally seen it for herself and blah, 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 blah. So you would think Calla might even just bare minimum be written up or be reprimanded in some way. You know, this is a longtime trusted supervisor reporting this, you know, on my behalf to her boss. But no, instead, Calla, right after that, was promoted. She was, I'm not even kidding, it sounds like I'm making this up, swear to God, she was promoted. And not only that, but they told me that I would now be reporting to her, even though I was there for a year and a half before her and had even trained her and knew more than her. So that was like, you've got, what is even happening here? So not only did she not get reprimanded, she was rewarded, promoted, and they're going to have me underneath her. And I just said, no, I'm like, you either find me another position within this company or I'm leaving. So they found me another position, but I ended up leaving 5 months later because I just wasn't supposed to be there anymore. And I should have left when the Calla incident happened, but I didn't recognize at the time. I was trying to make it work, try to find another position, different department, let's make this work. And I, you know, it didn't. It just got worse and worse and worse for other reasons, not bullying coworker reasons, but and I just ended up leaving. So, but that's a great example because it shows two different phenomenons rolled into one, and it was just a doozy.
Yes, it certainly was. And yeah, about overstaying your welcome, I'm sure listeners and myself, I've overstayed my welcome at jobs where I should have left years ago, but ended up staying because of certain reasons. And so over time and maturity, you start to learn that. In terms of jobs that include local, state, and federal governments, government agencies, education, courts, law enforcement, pharmaceuticals, and healthcare, what is the connection with your analysis in conspiracies in the workplace to those in positions making shocking, irrational decisions, such as pushing masks, the poison shots, or firing employees who don't toe the line?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, not an accident that those enforcing the mandates for masks, jabs, and vax passports with the corresponding two-tiered society and implementing mass firings and basically acting as talking puppets for the mass liberal media and driving society into the ground in general, they just so happen to be in their positions of power and authority at this time in order to do what they're doing. So it's really not, it's not an accident, in my opinion, because again, this ties back into the whole recognize and reward their own concept. And on the highest level, like for the elite type high levels, that involves secret societies and high level connections. So people being brought in who are part of the same groups of these societies and stuff. And they all connect, and you know, so a regular person who maybe just is credentialed, they're not going to be given the opportunity. And then you also have, you know, your neg manipulated pawns, possible hybrids that are inserted in these positions. But that's how and why they can do what they do. You know, it's purposeful, you know, versus accidentally irrational. And I think this is a huge important concept that people need to understand, because I'm really seeing this a lot in the world, where people understandably cannot wrap their heads around the behavior that they're seeing right now in this world with these people who are acting like this. They're acting like nut jobs and psychopathic. It's not even an understatement. They're just outright psychopathic level behavior that's happening. It's really revealing itself. And it's shocking people, and they can't understand how and why would somebody act like that. And I'm like, well, because things aren't what they seem to be. We have negs overseeing people. We have potential alien-human hybrids that have been integrated into society. And again, there's a reason I keep touching on that. We're going to get back into the hybrids thing towards the end and why that is a potential key component of this. And again, on the high level, the secret societies and things. So, and then there is another element at work here about how these people manage to get into their positions of power, not only on the highest levels, but down to the small, local, regional levels for the more of the everyday type of people. And it had to do with the public's own apathy for, you know, not running for school boards, for mayor or city council, etc. I mean, people, you know, all these years we've been distracted and exhausted, you know, due to these bad job situations and our upside down world setup in general, which was touched on at the very beginning. Like, you engineer this world that is just maximizing all kinds of negativity at every turn, not just at jobs, but so, you know, it was all manufactured. And this really helped ensure apathy, tiredness, distraction, and it created that unguarded opening. And so people are really seeing that now. So you see this huge thing where parents are now motivated, for instance, to be running for school board when they never even thought about it before, because they realize if they don't, these evil school board people who are trying to enforce masks and vaxes on their kids and the whole woke commie racist curriculums and, you know, just everything going off the rails with schooling nowadays, if they don't step in and run for school board, how is positive change going to happen? So, you know, there was that unguarded opening that hopefully people are now going to start closing. It'll be a closed and guarded thing. And so we do see that change starting to happen now in society as a result.
That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. This concludes part one of the interview with Carissa Conti. Visit inothernewsradio.com for archives and more information about the guests.